It's Connections, and I'm Blackjack. Happy to have our next guest on. It's April Kirkwood. She wrote a book called Big Girls Do Cry about her 20-year love affair with Frankie Valli. It's very very happy to have you on here, April Kirkwood. How you doing?
Thank you. I love your intro and all your music and background. Gives everybody in a great mood on a Thursday night in South Florida. Couldn't be better.
Well, you know, we really appreciate you coming on. You're in South Florida, and how do you like the Florida lifestyle?
I love it. I like being outside. I like the weather. I stay in better shape. Sometimes it can seem a little transient because, of course, we have a lot of traffic in and out, the snowbirds. But once you find your group and you get into your niche, you can really make the best of it. And it's really all about you. I mean, if you're miserable in Chicago, you're probably going to be miserable in Florida. Mm. So you just better make yourself mind it that you're going to be happy no matter where you are. It's mind over matter.
Now you,
but I do love it.
Now you wrote this book about Frankie Valli. Was this with or without his knowledge or permission? I'm just wondering. Is it like a tell-all?
Yeah. Oh, he is furious at me. Since we have published the book, I have been tracked down by some of his camp. We were told, his brother and I, never to have a picture in public again.
Did you guys have a concert? I didn't mean to interrupt, but you guys had a falling out, I take it?
Because of the book. And I feel bad. In the story, you will read how it just continued on and on, and how it started like a daughter-father relationship, and then how it changed in his perception, which then again, you know, all the little stars kept going off in my mind. I had always, as a little girl, fantasized about him, but I never thought of it in a sexual content, you know, at 7, 8, 9, and 10, or, and then when I was intimate with him at 16, it was a real shock. It was my first experience.
Take us back to the beginning, the story. You met him when you were a girl, right?
Right. I met him when I was 6 years old. And I'm the same age as his daughter, Toni Valli. Of course, I didn't know that at 6 years old. Remember, this is the 60s. There is no computer, no internet, no way for me to find out or my family about any personal information about Mr. Valli. And I saw him. My aunt had taken me. My parents were divorced, like many of the children of the 60s, so I got to hang out with my aunt and my grandma a lot. They took me, and at 6 years old, I was instantly drawn in. And it was so powerful. As a counselor, I had discovered years later, when my life kept going off track romantically, and people can say, oh, April, you're so smart. You have two masters in counseling. You know, you're a therapist, you're a teacher. What the heck are you doing with your romantic life? And one day I was in South Florida, and my daughter and I went to see Jersey Boys. She was going to University of Miami. And I just had a breakdown, a real mental breakdown, that there was something in Mr. Valli and my reaction to him, my history with him, that really twisted up my perception of what love is and what kind of man I thought I needed. So it's kind of like letting your little children run amok and take you out on the highway and say, here's this little flower, and we're going to pick that in the middle of the highway because this is what I know you want. And if we let that little child lead us into that highway, we're probably going to get run over. And I have been romantically run over for years. And when I found out the concept of imprinting, just the way little baby ducks imprint with the first thing they see, hopefully it's a mother duck, you do it, guys do it, girls do it. Everybody biologically has this DNA imprint somewhere between the ages of 6 and 11 of what they perceive the perfect love match should be. And
so you imprinted with Frankie Valli then?
Yes, I did. He was my imprint. So go ahead.
I was going to say, he met you when you were a kid. He obviously had some kind of eye on you, and then you're 16, and he takes you to bed.
Right, and I, at that point, when I had first gone back to see him, I had my license. He had come back to Youngstown, Ohio, where I was raised. I had always gone to see him at this venue. I had also gone to church at this venue. It was called Stamb Auditorium. And so my parents let me go there by myself. They had known Frankie for years, taking me to see him. And they didn't think anything of it. I didn't either. I mean, and I remember how the way he walked up to me and untangled all of my chains and stared and stood within an inch of my nose.
Sounds like grooming.
Yeah. I can't speak for him if he consciously did that. I also did not know it. I'm 16. At that time, he was married to a 20-year-old.
Oh.
And even now, he goes with many younger girls. I mean, 25. Now, remember, he's 83.
Oh, my.
So for him to go with a 25 or 28-year-old or 30-year-old, I'm way past that.
Creepy.
How did he find out about the book?
I tried to reach out to him. I had sent him the summary of the book that, you know, you use to sell the book. And I sent it to his booking agent, and there was another agent I had found because we had lost contact through these last 10 years, and he never responded to me. And I wanted to, if he would have said, and this is how much I still care for this man, if he would have said, April, don't do this, I'm sorry. I mean, it had nothing to do with money. But if he would have just said, April, please don't do this, let's talk. Let's have that conversation, you know, that we need to have for healing for all of us. I wouldn't have never published it, but I never heard from him. So I thought, well, he doesn't care, but I guess he did care. And I had had
who wouldn't care, you know?
Well, and he has sons who are younger, you know, with his last wife she passed away. They were divorced anyhow. But yeah, I'm sure it is embarrassing. But he could have if he was smart. Obviously, he's not that smart. If I was him, I would have turned it around and flipped it for my benefit. But, of course, he doesn't need to do that. I mean, he's one of the most lucrative musicians in U.S. history because of Jersey Boys and, mm-hmm. and the way that they have marketed him. So, he is very, very... I don't know how many million he's worth, but it's staggering.
That reminds me of a question. We've got April Kirkwood on the line. She wrote a book called Big Girls Do Cry. So there was no settlement? He didn't try to buy you off or anything?
No. Camp, I'm sure, told him she'll never really produce this book. It'll never come out. Leave it alone. Then I did have a publisher in New York they took me, and then all of a sudden I got a letter that they didn't want to work with me anymore, that they didn't feel it was right for them. And then I did get one or two calls from a few mobsters that I think were pretending to be publishers, like, yo, this is Rosie Jersey Publishing Company. We'd like to have a copy of this book. Maybe, wow. You know, and I'm like, really? I mean, I'm naive.
Well, did you find a publisher finally?
Yeah, I found a publisher. We, you can buy the book at Amazon, Barnes and Nobles. However, after I published the book, so much more had come out. And I became so much more healed that we rewrote it. We're getting ready. That's much more open and sizzling. And then I have another book on healing for people like myself that are not happy because they've totally screwed up their life in making the wrong decisions. And they wind up one morning like me, looking at the sun, wondering, now what do I do?
But April, you have to know that this is not your fault. At 16, you're not really capable of making those kind of life-changing decisions.
No, I do realize that. And what else came out of it is my family history had a lot to do with it. The women in my family had all really picked bad men. I personally did not have a strong father figure. I also, the women in my life were like the early bra burners. I mean, they worked in factories, and if somebody told them no, that wasn't going to happen. If they had their mindset on something, that was it. And they had made poor choices with men. My mother got divorced, probably one of the first people in my school. So I grew up with a very unhealthy view. I didn't have a good male figure. And so I also think Frankie was, in my mind, I was groomed. I was groomed for a lot of things, and my family groomed me to be a celebrity, to be smart, to be beautiful, to walk right, to talk right, to make it. And in my mind, in my little mind, Frankie was a way I could make my family proud of me. You know,
sense.
He was my ticket.
So, April, when is the redone book out and available as well?
No, it's not done. Our editor is scurrying as we speak. I'm on the phone with him for hours every day.
Of course.
And then the next book is called Rose Surrender, Rose Colored Glasses Required. And that is a book that will command a lot of keynote presentations on me, helping people who have made poor decisions and how to heal from that and create a life that they are proud of, that they feel peaceful about, and no guilt, no guilt required. I believe in a synchronicity in life. I believe there are no mistakes in the universe. Like you said, it was not my fault. So what do I do with that? Okay, so my family were a little risque. They were ballsy, hot little chicks that just probably didn't model a kind of conservative lifestyle, let's say it that way. And my mother had a personality disorder. We all have those kind of issues in our home. Every house has a leak.
April Kirkwood, thank you so much for giving us the scoop. And whenever you're up in Orlando, please come to the Connection Studio.
Love to come. Love to have you come back.
Get the book.
Yeah.
Okay, get the book. God bless you. Take care. And remember, you are loved.
Thank you, April
Kirkwood. Not your fault. Okay, bye-bye.
Big Girls Do Cry. Sounds like a fun read.
Definitely gives you a whole new perspective on Frankie Valli if all of this is true.
I was going to ask her about sex talk with this Frankie Valli if he treated her like a rag doll.
We can always have her on next time.
You're horrible. Porn Star Pete's coming up next. It is Connections.
Connections.